Accession number 6374, roll number 2.
Mr. Maguire, reel 2.
We gave what we had in the way of money, that was Thai money or Japanese occupation money, or pens or watches, if we had any left, to the local ladies. They were Thai ladies who would give us what they called Maime, M-A-I-M-E-E, which was a sort of rice mixed with seeds, edible seeds, which had been fried in a quok, K-W-O-K. We would get sustenance from that.
Did they?
And they used to give us what we called monkey bananas. They are small bananas. We got them free.
Did the Thais seem to be friendly or not?
Yes, they were friendly because they had been overrun. And they were all for giving us what they could.
Did anybody try to escape whilst you were on the railway?
Yes. There were three of my own unit. I can't remember their names, but they came to me and asked, would we cover up for them while they'd gone? I said, where are you going? They said, into the bushes. We assumed from that we're just going to make water or whatever. So they said, we are not, we are going to escape. Can you give us anything to help us? Well, we had various tins of milk. We gave them that. I had it hadn't been taken off me, a compass. I gave them that. Someone else gave them binoculars. Then they said, we are off. I said, and the best of luck to you too. We didn't see them again. But apparently, afterwards, we found out, through the Japanese, they had wandered round, instead of going over to the coast, to Akyab, they had wandered round in one large circle and came back where they were captured by the Thai police, who'd been looking for them with dogs.
What did the Japanese do to them?
They brought them back to the guardhouse at Chiang Kai and made them sit outside cross-legged with two Japanese guards in charge. Then the Japanese, through their interpreter, said, we are going to execute them for attempting to escape. So one of our officers was called over by the Japanese and told what was going to happen and asked them to supervise the shooting. They said, we will not cut off their heads. They are soldiers. they will be shot. So they made these three soldiers, actually two were brothers, made them dig their own graves, then shot them. But the Japanese, who was shooting with a rifle, botched the job. The officer went over and took his rifle and made a proper job of it.
Was this the only escape attempt that you knew of?
That's the only one that I knew of then. But we did hear that a Chinese had made his way from Singapore right through Malaya into Thailand, and from there over the Burmese border and eventually to India.
Coming back to the work that you were doing, did the Japanese supervise the work reasonably or not?
No, they did not. If they thought that we were lagging behind, they would line us up and beat us, either by their fists or with the butt of their rifles. One time we were all lined up from the tallest down to the smallest, and because we had not allegedly been working hard enough, they were beating us very badly until there was a shout and they all stopped, and it was the Japanese commander of that area who came over with his sword and demanded to know what was happening. He could speak English. He took his sword out of the scabbard, and with the flat of his sword he beat the guards.
Was that the only time you saw anything of that kind?
Yes.
How did the guards generally behave towards the prisoners?
Very badly.
In what way?
Because the Japanese were saying we were not working hard enough for the Greater East Asia Co-Prosperity Sphere. And the railway had to be completed by November 44 on the orders of the Imperial Japanese government in Tokyo. And the orders had come from Tokyo that at all costs, no matter how many people died, that railway had to be built towards Burma, because the Japanese were going to invade India at Imphal.
Did you ever get beaten yourself?
Yes.
Can you describe it?
Yes. I was slapped and kicked and beaten about the head because I was a sergeant and in charge of a platoon of men who are not working as hard as the Japanese wished.
Were you only beaten on one occasion or on more?
On more than one occasion, yes.
For the same reason?
For the same reason, yes. And another reason, when we came back to camp at Chiang Kai, we were all lined up and made to number off in Japanese, which I could speak and still speak, and it was found that there were three men missing. So all senior NCOs, including myself, were beaten because we had not notified the Japanese that three people were missing.
Did you suffer any permanent injury from these beatings?
No, not then, no.
You said earlier that you sabotaged the work. Can you describe how that happened?
Yes. The Japanese told us we must not put trees or logs into the embankment because that would cause the embankment to subside when the rains came. But we did put in logs into the soil, and also there were a great deal of ants and they of course ate away the logs and caused it to subside.
Did you ever see the result of that sabotage in the form of engines collapsing?
Yes, indeed, yes.
Can you tell me about it?
Yes. It was later on, further up the line, that the engines came along when we had laid the rails proper, and of course it subsided, and we saw the result of it. That was a month later when we were going back for more rails. We saw the engines and the trucks lying on the side.
Did the POWs have to repair that damage?
Yes, indeed, yes.
What was the Japanese reaction to people caught sabotaging the work?
Well, anyone caught, they were beaten and not given food for a week.
Did you see that happen?
Yes.
Did it happen to you?
Yes, but we managed to get food from other people.
Was water easily obtained?
Yes. Well, the River Kwai, there's plenty of water there, but we had to be careful because there were dead bodies of all kinds, animals as well as humans, in the water, and we had to be careful to boil the water to make sure that it was reasonable to drink.
Was there ever any disease?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, there was a great deal of dysentery. And, of course, malaria. I had frequent bouts of malaria. Also, I caught cholera. And the Japanese, when they heard, they were extremely scared of any disease, especially cholera. So they banished another sergeant, myself, from the camp and gave us a tent where we could stay until we recovered. There was a doctor with us. He gave me, he put a needle into my ankle and gave me a saline drip. But the other sergeant, he took not cholera, but Blackwater fever. And we had to call guards and people to hold him down because he was so violent. He came from Lancashire. He died. I went back to my unit. Yeah.
Did many people survive cholera?
The incidence of deaths from cholera were 80% death, and there were many. How so many people caught cholera was another camp next to us was inhabited by Indians and coolies who had been brought up from Singapore. They lived in abysmal state. Most of them caught cholera. Most of them, all of them died. I think roughly about 350. We had to go and get our shovels and get a hold of these people and bury them. I'll take that back. We put them on huge piles of wood and created a funeral pyre and burned them all, including one of our own people.
You mentioned the harsh Japanese treatment, but did you ever come across any Japanese who were kind to you, either on the railway or in Japan?
In Japan, yes. On the railway, no. I'll take that back. Further up, further on the railway, at a place called Niki, N-I-K-I, the train with some carriages was moving up to the border to go over into Burma, and it stopped at our camp there. We were ordered to parade in front of the trucks where the top brass, it was generals, colonels, majors, were all on board that train. Also on that train were what was known as comfort ladies. You can guess what I mean. They leaned over and with whatever they had in the shape of cigarettes, sweets and money, they gave us. And Japanese military paid no attention. Just let it be.
What nationality did these ladies seem to be?
They were Japanese. They'd been brought from Japan proper.
Who was kind to you in Japan?
In Japan proper, one or two guards were. I should explain, in Japan, this camp was called UBI, UBE. And there weren't guards there. There were civilian guards employed by the company who owned the mine. One guard, civilian guard, we called him Wingy because he had only one arm. The other arm had been severed during the, what they call the China incident. But two other guards, they could see the way the war was going. They would take us out with a wheelbarrow into the town. This particular guard took us to his own home, introduced us to his wife and children, gave us tea and biscuits and cigarettes. Then we returned back to the camp again. There was another Japanese. His name was Inoue, Inoue. He was the quartermaster. He supervised the rations, mainly the rice. He knew that the cook sergeant was doing a fiddle with the rice. When they were weighing the rice on the weighing machine, the sergeant would put his foot underneath and raise the weight so as to give us more rice. Inoue knew that, and he helped in it. He would give us more rice.
Coming back to the railway, did you actually see the completion of the railway?
Yes.
Was there a ceremony?
Yes.
Can you describe it?
Yes. When the railway was completed, the Australians were working from the Burma end. We were working from the opposite end. And when the railway was completed, the Japanese had a gold nugget or bolt put in the in one of the sleepers connecting it. But Australians being Australians, the gold nugget vanished. And they replaced it with another bolt, which they painted a gold colour. When they were called out in parade, when the railway was complete, and we were all formed up, as in the British Army, and a speech was made by the Japanese camp commandant thanking us for our efforts, and we were all told to go to the canteen where we would get a free cup of black coffee, which we did. Then they raised the Japanese flag in honour of the occasion. And our officers said, we want the British flag raised because we had completed the railway. They said no. So it was just the Japanese flag.
Did you have real coffee?
No, it was... it wasn't... not real coffee, no. It was made in one of these big tins again. No, it was acorn coffee.
Did you experience any Allied air raids whilst you were on the railway?
Yes. When we came back after our work there, I should point out that the Japanese, in spite of their brutality and making us work so hard and beating us up, the main people who were really evil were the Korean guards, because Korea had been conquered by the Japanese, and the British, all prisoners of war, were regarded as the lowest of the low because we had surrendered. The Japanese did not believe in surrender. And the Koreans were slightly up from us. And the Koreans, being harassed by the Japs, took it out on us. And they did a great deal of beating as well. Now, at this particular camp where the Koreans were, there was a place called Nompladuk, Nompladuk. And by this time, and in this camp, we were all given fresh uniform. It had been Indian Army shirts, which were blue and rather fuzzy, and shorts, and slacks, and new boots, because we were being told, now that you have built the railway, now you are going to Japan to work there. One afternoon, while we were out sunning ourselves or whatever, we heard the sirens going from the Japanese guardroom, and we were all told to take cover. But we didn't. We could see bombers